Today, the Fed does nothing again. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, from that is Post, covering finance and property news. Well, the Federal Open Market Committee decided to leave the cash rate unchanged yesterday.
Good afternoon. My colleagues and I remain squarely focused on achieving our dual mandate goals of maximum employment and stable prices for the benefit of the American people. Our economy has made considerable progress toward both goals over the past 2 years. The labor market has come into better balance, and the unemployment rate remains low. Inflation has eased substantially from a peak of 7% to 2.5%. We are strongly committed to returning inflation to our 2% goal in support of a strong economy that benefits everyone. Today, the FOMC decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged and to continue to reduce our securities holdings. We are maintaining our restrictive stance of monetary policy in order to keep demand in line with supply and reduce inflationary pressures.
And it's weird, actually, that the biggest financial news from Wednesday was that they did nothing at all and also did not commit to do anything in future, despite the call from some to cut rates in a preemptive intervention to head off a recession. As always, traders parsed every nook and cranny of the FOMC statement, while billions of dollars changed hands. Actually, the alterations to their statement since last month's version do all undeniably point towards cutting rates, but only just a tad. For example, job gains have moderated, not remained strong, and the unemployment rate has moved up, but remains low. Or again, in recent months, there has been some further progress, not modest further progress, towards the committee's 2% inflation objective. Or again, the economic outlook is uncertain and the committee is attentive to the risks to both sides of its dual mandate, not highly attentive to inflation risks. The dual mandate of jobs, growth and low inflation are now better in balance, Powell said later. The Federal Open Market Committee said that the committee does not expect it would be appropriate to reduce the target range until it's gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably towards 2%, so there is no clear signal of a September cut here.
As the labor market has cooled and inflation has declined, the risks to achieving our employment and inflation goals continue to move into better balance. Indeed, we're attentive to the risks to both sides of our dual mandate. We have stated that we do not expect it will be appropriate to reduce the target range for the federal funds rate until we have gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%. The second quarter's inflation readings have added to our confidence, and more good data would further strengthen that confidence. We will continue to make our decisions meeting by meeting. We know that reducing policy restraint too soon or too much could result in a reversal of the progress we have seen on inflation. At the same time, reducing policy restraint too late or too little could unduly weaken economic activity and employment. In considering any adjustments to the target range for the federal funds rate, the committee will carefully assess incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks. As the economy evolves, monetary policy will adjust in order to best promote our maximum employment and price stability goals. If the economy remains solid and inflation persists, we can maintain the current target range for the federal funds rate as long as appropriate. If the labor market were to weaken unexpectedly or inflation were to fall more quickly than anticipated, we are prepared to respond. Policy is well positioned to deal with the risks and uncertainties that we face in pursuing both sides of our dual mandate.
But Powell did flag this to an extent by saying that the sense of the committee is closer to cuts, but we're not there yet, by freely conceding that downside risks to the labour markets are real, while adding that employment is not a source of material inflationary pressure by calling policy restrictive, not extremely restrictive, but restrictive, and by cheerfully describing the latest inflation data as so much better than 12 months ago. A cut will indeed happen at the next meeting if inflation moves down in line with expectations, which is a way of saying that we should expect a cut. That said, the groundwork he laid for a September move to low interest rates allowed him also some room to divert if the data doesn't go according to plan. While there were no explicit signals, his positive takes on falling inflation and normalizing labor markets will reinforce Wall Street's expectations for a September decision.
On September, let me say this. We have made no decisions about future meetings, and that includes the September meeting. The broad sense of the committee is that the economy is moving closer to the point at which it will be appropriate to reduce our policy rate. In that, we will be data dependent, but not data point dependent. So it will not be a question of responding specifically to one or two data releases. The question will be whether the totality of the data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks are consistent with rising confidence on inflation and maintaining a solid labor market. If that test is met, a reduction in our policy rate could be on the table as soon as the next meeting in September. So you asked why not today, and I would just say again that the broad sense of the committee is that we're getting closer to the point at which it will be appropriate to reduce our policy rate, but that we're not quite at that point yet.
The FOMC discussed the possibility of cutting rates at this meeting, Powell said in response to press questions. The committee had a nice conversation on the possibility, and a strong majority supported keeping rates steady this time. And while not ruling anything out, Powell suggested a 50 basis point move isn't planned. Powell said decisions on monetary policy are a very difficult judgment call. He laid out scenarios for everything from cutting several times this year to no cuts at all. If inflation moves down in line with expectations, growth remains reasonably strong, and the labor markets remain consistent with its current condition, a rate cut could be on the table in September, he said. Powell's comments were more dovish than the changes actually in the FOMC statement, and he said upside risks to inflation have come down as the labor market has cooled off. While recent anecdotal data has been mixed, he continued to expect a soft landing for the economy. Powell also strongly denied that politics would make it impossible to cut rates less than 2 months before the election. That's a significant stake in the ground. Dovish comments from Powell extended a rally in stocks, pushing the S&P 500 towards its biggest advance in February. Treasury yields were down across the curve, and the dollar slipped against all of its developed market peers. Traders continued pricing in a minimum of 2 rate cuts this year. The perception of a Fed ready to ease helped consolidate the Nasdaq 100's best day since earlier in the year, as it gains more than 3%. The ongoing Magnificent Seven results are taking stocks on quite a random walk, with Microsoft's announcement that it was already generating revenue from its investments in AI, sparking a recovery from Alphabet's admission last week that it wasn't. Nvidia gained $337 billion in market cap in the day. That's bigger than the current entire valuation the market currently puts on the whole of Bank of America. The chipmaker's share price still uncomfortably resembles Cisco Systems, though, which played a similar role in the development of the internet when it peaked during the dot-com bubble in 2000, as this chart shows from Deutsche Bank. At least Nvidia is likely to have lower rates to cushion any fall. The greatest risk confronting the Fed now would be an unpleasant surprise on Friday from the payrolls data for July. Powell made clear that unemployment was now as much of a concern as inflation, but also said the jobs market was merely normalizing rather than moving steadily towards a recession. As it stands, though, Powell could point to the latest employment cost index, a very closely watched metric, as showing a clear reduction in inflationary pressure without suggesting that the jobs market was growing too weak. Beyond that, there's always the risk that disinflation grinds to a halt in the US over the next couple of months. The flash July inflation estimates for the Eurozone, for example, published just a few hours before the FOMC decision, were an uncomfortable reminder that this could happen, although overnight index swaps still suggest that investors are expecting a September rate cut from the European Central Bank. And eyes now turn to the Bank of England, who may or may not cut rates in the UK today. With inflation close to 2% and an expectation of an ECB-like rise in inflation ahead, it's a line ball call. For real news on monetary policy, the Bank of Japan actually hiked its target interest rate by, wait for it, 15 basis points, and it halved its monthly purchase of bonds. While Japanese rates are still radically cheaper than elsewhere, the carry, the extra income from borrowing in yen and parking it elsewhere, has sharply reduced. That strengthens the yen while inflicting pain on anyone who had a bet on the so-called carry trade. And that's an honest development, by the way, as it's been a reliable moneymaker for the last few years. So standing back, we can see here that central banks are still in a quandary, trying to navigate to lower rates. They probably all want to cut, but of course there are consequences if and when they do, which then also lays the ground for the RBA on Tuesday. And there, as I said yesterday, it seems to me they're more likely just to hold and follow the Fed once again and do nothing. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.